Let me introduce you to two people. Jason, straight across from you.
Hey, Jason.
Hello.
Good morning.
And Susan's
good morning.
On your left.
Hi, Susan.
Good morning.
And the last name, you ready, Keith?
Yeah.
Cole Morgan.
Cole Morgan.
C-O-L-L-M-O-R-G-E-N. Cole Morgan.
Like that. Cole Morgan. Yes. Cole
so, Morgan. Jason, we'll start with you first and just say good morning.
Well, it's very nice to be here. It's and you guys are very entertaining.
Hey, you said you live in Forsyth. We want to find out where you were born and grew up.
I moved around a lot.
Okay.
Well, it started somewhere.
It started. I was born in Texas.
Okay. Good.
So, all right. What part?
Houston, actually.
Oh, way down there.
Way down there.
That was quite a few years ago, though. So.
And how did Forsyth get on your radar in this part of the country?
I think the Lord just brought us to this area.
Okay. From where'd you come here from?
I was living up in Minnesota for a little while up there, and then decided it was time to move. Came to Springfield, ended up in Branson. Not too long after that, met Susan, and we got married, and God took us around a little bit and brought us back.
Well, I know why you live in Minnesota. Too many of those winters where you're shoveling snow.
I don't. Now, inquiring minds want to know, what was all those? Some people were your military family, or were you just circumstances? Why were you moving all these places?
My dad would take positions to advance his career.
Sure.
Wasn't in the military, but as a family, we loved to travel.
Hmm. What career was he in?
He worked as a maintenance engineer.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you, we moved, my wife and I, honey, remember these days? 13 times in 13 years.
Oh, baby.
Okay? Now,
can relate.
We did that. Sometimes, Keith, there was 3 or 4 years a period of time, but 13 times in 13 years. Right. And some of that was to build a new house, move to an apartment, do this, do that. But like you said, an advancement came up, and we say, pack her up.
Pack it
Let's
up.
Go.
Here we go.
Well, then I asked you before we came on the air, you met Susan, and she's got this checkered background because she's a she's a goblin.
Harrison Goblin.
Harrison Goblin.
Yes.
Now tell us, are you really a Harrison Goblin, or are you from the little town that's SMO place south of you there, Valley Springs?
I was Harrison born and itself. Raised in Harrison.
In Harrison.
Wow. Harrison. Went to Harrison School.
Harrison High School, class of 95.
Oh, wow. We had the opportunity this summer to go to the stadium where they were having a tremendous football jamboree for the younger Pee-wee kids. Man, what a nice stadium. What a nice area. It's really nice.
It is nice. It's changed a lot since my day.
Well, you graduated from Harrison. Did you go to college?
I did. I attended North Arc.
Oh, good.
And then finished my degree through Western Governors University.
How'd you meet that guy?
We met on Match.com.
Really?
Oh, yep. You know, we hear this all the time.
My daughter-in-law met her husband online.
Yeah. She put in all the requirements, and there he is. Okay, let's go. Who emailed who first?
I don't remember.
Was you it me? Emailed me first, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He emailed you.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You kind of liked his profile?
Yeah. He looked cute, and looked we had cute. Common interests.
I photoshopped my picture on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job.
I understand that.
Common interest. What was the most common thing?
Love of travel, okay. Love of the outdoors, hiking, adventure. Mm. That was the
and
big
I know what
there.
You said. You said, if you come see me sometime, I'll take you south of Harrison to a place called the Buffalo River.
Yeah, we'll float the river.
Yep. And we'll float the river, and we'll show you what hiking is all like. And we don't have to go to the canoe places. We got people with canoes, right?
Yeah, so, you bring your canoe.
All right, let me read my – go ahead, buddy.
My dad owned a place right there by Ferguson's and Corsi's Ham's place.
Oh, yeah.
We would float the Buffalo River down to Gilbert, you know,
oh,
where
yes,
Gilbert is
Gilbert.
Small little town. What a neat place, though.
Keith, I'm so glad you reminded me of the Corsi Ham place. I'd love to stop there. It's pretty neat.
Oh, yeah.
I bet if you get the Leslie Bakery, it's south of you, it's farther, a little farther. Okay. No, wait. Leslie's before you, isn't it?
No, Leslie's south of
is it?
Marshall.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Jason and Susan, my production sheet says the following. Hope of a Nation. There's a lot of places I could take that. Who wants to tell me what is that?
You want to go ahead?
Okay. Well, we are a non-denominational Christian ministry that was founded in 2019. And our initial work began in Mozambique, Africa. And that's a long story as to how we got
Let's
over
go.
There.
Let's go.
We got
okay.
some time. Let's All figure right. that out.
All right.
good friend that lives up toward, my wife's friend up toward the Kansas City area, that heard a lot about Mozambique. Okay. She loves Mozambique, goes there often. Well,
Mozambique is on the southeast coast of Africa.
Okay.
And so, you know, where the island of Madagascar is.
Okay. Where am I from? It's South Africa itself.
Right across it. So it borders South Africa.
Okay, I've got you.
But it's on the east coast.
Gotcha. And Cameroon's on the west coast, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it's on the opposite side. Botswana? North of South Africa, close to there, no?
It's a little north.
Yeah, gotcha. I'm right. I got the picture.
I've got, like, the east side memorized. I don't really focus.
Give me some of the countries right around Mozambique.
Surrounding Mozambique are Zimbabwe, South Africa, Zambia, Malawi, Tanzania.
There you go. And we're very familiar with Tanzania and Malawi, Valparaiso, and we have a radio station that we've helped with there. So we really love that part of the country. Keep going.
Awesome. Well, Mozambique got on our radar after we, God was doing some really amazing things in our lives, drawing us close to Him. We went on our first mission trip to India and Sri Lanka. And we ended up going to Mozambique as a result of a mission school that was being held there. And this was back in 2009. And at the time, we didn't know what God's plan was. We sold everything, left life as we knew it, and went to this mission school with no plan or agenda other than the school.
What was the organization there? The
It was Iris Ministries, mm-hmm. Heidi and Roland Baker's ministry.
Okay, now let's stop here just a minute.
Sure.
You're from Harrison.
Yes.
Okay. And you're from Texas through 100 different places in Minnesota. I want to know how the conversation went. You all are married now. Which one of you looked at each other and said, hey, I saw this little ad, I saw this deal, I saw the Mozambique, honey.
I was looking online this morning and
there's a mission school.
Mission school that we could go to.
And you know what? I'm going to go on the Facebook Marketplace and just sell everything, keep some things in the suitcase. Let's just fly over and go to the school.
How long was the school commitment?
Yeah.
It was 2 months.
So
we're selling everything for a 2-month school?
Yes. Sounds crazy, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, it does. I hate to say it. Except you preface this by God was working with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And if you say, God, it belongs to you, we'll get the suitcases. You help us with the flights. What do you have in mind? So my question now is, what did he have in mind?
Boy, it's been a wild ride. So after the 2-month school was over, that ministry actually had bases throughout Mozambique, mission spaces, right, where they had a central point where they would operate from and do all kinds of different ministries. Well, they had the base directors of one of their central bases were heading home to have their first child, heading home back to the States. And it turned out that couple was from Rolla, Missouri. I mean, small world.
Wow. Rolla.
And we're still friends with them today.
Crazy.
And they have their own ministry. But so as they were coming home, we're going down there to fill in while they're gone. And we met so many amazing people during that time, and God just wrecked us.
Now, the people you were meeting, were they Mozambique people, or were they from other countries, or were they from the United States? Who were they?
Both. That particular ministry had about 50 Mozambican staff.
Sure.
And then there were international ministries,
sure.
Missionaries from all over the world.
Let me interject something. Keith and I are in our 70s, and I'm seeing a picture forming here today because we used to send a lot of missionaries that direction. But I'm telling you what, we, Keith, right, have become a mission field.
Absolutely.
Right here in the United States of America.
Absolutely.
Needing God's word. Keith?
There is an organization, Global Awakening, I think it's called. It's big in Mozambique. But I've heard Mozambique come up a lot. Why is that? Is there something unique about Mozambique that we don't know?
You know, that's a good question. And it could be that I really feel like the Lord has a heart for using Mozambicans to reach the rest of the world. But I think part of the focus that one of the reasons Mozambique got on a lot of people's radar was because of Iris Ministries and their work there. They had developed a ministry back in the 80s, early 90s, and through appearances and stuff on different Christian programs and books they had written, it kind of got Mozambique on the radar. Mm-hmm. And through their mission school, a lot of other individuals have gone and experienced Mozambique and found opportunities to work there.
Now, Jason, hubby, you're kind of leading the group here, and you're watching your wife, and you're saying what as all this is going on?
You mean as she's talking right now?
No, I'm talking about in the bathroom.
You know, for us, we just go where the Lord is leading us, and that was the part of it, too. You had asked how we decided to do this. Well, Susan actually watched a video, but the Lord was already moving in us, and it was like, where do we go, Lord? What do we do? You're calling us to something. She saw this video that happened to be filmed within Mozambique Miracles, all of these kind of things happening, and then we just said, let's go.
Yeah.
That's it. How long were you there on this first visit?
On the first visit, we were there...
10 months?
Yeah.
Right at 10 months.
Mm-hmm. And this ministry that you said was born in 19, did that come out of that trip? Or tell me about that. What's the connection there?
That came years later, and I'll let you kind of explain that a little bit.
After our time in Mozambique the first time, I won't go into a whole lot of details, but... The enemy definitely comes into ministries and does a lot of
really
bad things. Yes,
you mean
yes.
He would come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true. Yes.
And honestly, he's very good at doing that within ministries, churches, and everything.
Yes.
Well, we stepped away for quite a few years. The Lord began to talk to us again and said, go back to Mozambique. I want you to see what I've been doing there. Then when we got into Mozambique, probably part of what got Mozambique on people's radar is, 2019 when the cyclone hit?
Yeah, there was a major cyclone that hit.
It was what was considered the worst cyclone being also a hurricane,
right.
In the southern hemisphere in like the past, 100 years or something.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It was very devastating for Mozambique. It took out the power, communication, blocked roads. It wreaked havoc, and a lot of the great organizations from the United States went over there. So even Convoy of Hope,
right,
had gone over and did a little bit of relief effort up there, and that just happened to be the same time we were going over, and that during that event is when the Lord had given me a vision, and Hope of a Nation was born out of that.
Wow, I love it.
Now, so what's the mission statement for your organization?
That's a good one. You repeat it. You're better at it.
We are about discipling and empowering godly individuals and leaders to be Christ's hands and feet.
One more time. I like that.
Sure. Discipling and empowering godly leaders and individuals to be Christ's hands and feet.
Boy, do we need that in the world we live in today. You know, Keith and I talk all the time about how we've been, I say it, and he doesn't say it as much, about being slimed. But I think of the old Nickelodeon thing when they slime you. And I just feel like the world just slimes us.
Yeah.
But I want to have a protective coating on where the slime doesn't stick. Keith, our armor, where's our armor stay, Keith?
In the front.
And where does it stay on our body?
It stays in the front of our body so we can head it on. We've got a helmet. We've got a breastplate. We got the boots. All of it.
Let me ask it another way because he's losing the money the farther we go.
The worst.
When do you put it on and take it off?
Oh,
there you go.
That totally different story. And I'll chase a rabbit here. We talked about putting your armor on every day, and somebody was on our program, and I don't actually remember who it was. I said, wait a minute. You don't take it off.
Right.
You put it on.
Right.
And it stays on.
Yep.
Yeah. And we learned that. So you're putting on the armor and helping people walk through this life and helping other people.
Right.
Where, how, when, all that.
We have several programs that we do over there. We take care of orphans, which we want to make sure that we fulfill the part, you know, taking care of orphans and widows, you know, just like James had said.
Right.
Mozambique is very different from when we think of even orphans here. It's very difficult for them to be taken care of. Usually they end up coming into a grandmother's house, maybe an aunt or uncle.
Maybe even a neighbor.
But there's not programs that exist there to be able to help. So that's what we do. We step in to make sure that the children, that they have food, that they can go to school, which is very important. them getting an education there, it literally changes their lives. We have a children's ministry, which is so much fun, and it happens every Saturday. And they feed the children this big meal and have lots of fun games with the children. On the few occasions when they weren't able to do them on Saturday, it was very disappointing for the children.
Sure.
So they very much look forward to it.
Now, is Hope of a Nation in Mozambique, or is there anything in the Branson area that we could do with Hope of a Nation?
Well, there's us in this area.
Okay, yeah. So is there, if somebody says, I want to get engaged in that, I want to have a part of this, what do they do to get a hold of you?
And how are they funded?
Good point, Keith.
That's a very good question. You know, most of the work is over there, and I think that's what sometimes when work happens in another country, I think it causes a little bit of disconnect sometimes for people. Unfortunately, in the United States, we're a little bit self-focused.
Really?
We forget that there's a big world out there and that we have a lot of brothers and sisters all over the place. So most of the work, it happens in Mozambique, but not only. We have some children in
Zambia.
And then more recently, we had this amazing couple. They're new to the area over the past few years. They had been doing some work with Uganda with a large orphanage. Large. When I say large, I mean 600 children.
That's large.
And so they are now part of Hope of a Nation as well, and so is that work in Uganda.
Now, are you Hope of a Nation? Are you part of another group that helps you? Tell me about that.
No, we're actually not. We, Lord just said go and do, and we said absolutely. And
yeah. So is there an organization headquartered somewhere like in Mozambique or in Philadelphia or whatever, Hope of a Nation,
you're
a part of?
No, we started this ministry.
So, this is something
you are Hope of a Nation.
We are Hope of a Nation.
Got it.
Along
and
with
not alone. We have an amazing team. The Lord brought so many people together, and that's something we always enjoy. So in Mozambique, we have this huge team of people there, and it's been so amazing to see the way the Lord has brought people together.
Now, I don't know if they let you know or whatever, but you could tell the folks in Mozambique they could listen to you live on KLFCRadio.com.
They could be listening to you now. Did you know that?
Be listening to you right now.
I saw that on your website. We'll have to send them.
What time is it in Mozambique? Is it an afternoon?
Right now, they are 7 hours ahead of us.
Okay. 7 ahead of us.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so keep that in mind next time you want to do something. Let them know, and you can come here and they could listen this morning live.
Now, what can our KLFC family do for you?
Probably the biggest thing would be we love opportunities to speak and share. We have so many testimonies. We've been told over and over that we need to write a book, and eventually we'll get to doing that. But so many inspiring testimonies of how God takes our willingness and uses us to benefit the kingdom, to bring light to the darkness, to bring awareness to his great love for us. And so opportunities to engage with people, to share, to inspire. Of course, if anyone wanted to get involved with helping fundraising, that's always great. People can raise funds to however they wanted. And
do you do any specific fundraising events here in our area?
We don't currently. For a while, we were doing really large garage sales every year, and we're not having to do that so much right now.
Right.
Boy, do we understand that, and we learn God, when it belongs to you, he provides the funding, and you ask how.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I wonder, as you're talking, have you experienced 5 loaves and 3 fishes where you all...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
And like, especially in, because we also do a medical outreach program and agricultural programs. We've really seen those 5 loaves and fishes through those programs, especially, wouldn't you say, Jason?
Yes, we've definitely seen the Lord take pennies and turn them into dollars, for sure.
Right. How long before you go back over, and how long will you stay?
We are actually planning to go back in July, and we'll be there for 2 months.
Wow.
And then Jason will go to Uganda for a week.
What? And when you're here, I mean, do you like have a place over in Forsyth or something? Or
we do. We have our house in Forsyth, and while we're here, we reach out and try to have as many opportunities as possible to share about the work. And
so if somebody wanted to have you in their church or they wanted mm-hmm. to, how would they get a hold of you? Is there a website?
Off of our website, which is just hopeofanation.org.
Right, mm-hmm. hopeofanation.org.
Okay. Hopeofanation.org. We'll put a link on our KLFCradio.com website so folks can find you easier.
In my travels internationally, I found a lot of interesting things. For example, in Mexico a lot, I would get on a bus that was called ATNE. It's ETN, but ATNE. And the bus had about 20 seats on it. They were like first-class airline seats. And they had televisions, and they had a snack they would give you to go that 2 to 3 hours that I needed to go. So when I would come home, and I would tell people I was on a bus, they had the pictures of the chickens, everybody hanging out, and I let them keep that picture. I want them to think I was hanging on the back of the bus yeah. with chickens all over it, but I was in this really kind of first-class bus in Mexico. When I say Mozambique, is it the same picture? You say, Charlie, it is not. Elephants and cows and everybody running around. It's a modernized country. Who can help me with that?
It is a developing nation.
It's not modernized.
So it's more third world.
Okay.
The capital city is probably the closest to being developed.
Okay.
And it might look very similar to, say, South Africa, which is a pretty developed country.
Right.
But the rest of the country, very rural. But I mean, most people live in mud huts.
Okay. No electricity?
Right.
How about sanitary facilities? Are you using outhouses and the woods and
yeah,
the nature?
Basically, like pit latrines.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
What is the government structure, and are they? How do they feel about folks of faith?
They, they are a democracy, or at least veiled as a democracy.
Sure.
They do have elections, but their government is known for being highly corrupt.
Okay.
And that's been a lot of the problem when you come down to like foreign aid and things like that,
right,
is
right.
it's the government. It's not distributing it to the
what
people.
What about the Muslim influence?
There is a very large predominant Muslim influence. And in fact, right now in the northern part of the country, there's a lot of terrorism going on of the very worst kind.
Yes. And what part of the country are you in?
We are in central Mozambique,
okay,
which is
so
quite a
way,
distance.
Way
and how far is that from the capital?
It is the capital's in the very south,
okay.
Probably about a 16-hour bus
yeah,
ride.
Somewhere in there.
That's pretty long.
So Mozambique's a pretty good-sized country.
It is. It's
about twice the size of California.
Yeah.
Twice the size of
and
California?
And it's long like California,
yeah,
too.
Oh, my
really?
Goodness.
Huh.
Yeah.
Do us a favor. We're going to take a break and come back, and we want to let people know your website and everything on the other side. This has been very, very interesting. Thank you so much for coming today and sharing with our listeners. But we'll wrap this up on the other side of 8 o'clock. Keith?
Hopeofanation.com, right?
.org.
All right. Hopeofanation.org. We'll put it in our KLFCradio.com website.
You've lost us another $500,000 again.
I thought it was a whole million. So
it
I feel
was.
Better about myself.
Yeah. All right, let's roll.
Let's do it. Hey, we got 39 degrees. Darren's going to keep us updated on the weather. The eclipse starts at about 12:30, goes to a little after 3. The heaviest part, not the heaviest, the most part of it will be around 10 minutes to 2. So check it out.
Darren, give me a birthday song. If you're going to be around 90, pick me a birthday song. When we come back out, we're going to give one to somebody that could be around that
birthday
age.
Birthday song of 90?
Yeah.
For a 90-year-old?
Yeah.
Oh, he'll
ish.
Find one. Watch. It'll be that one. Hey, we'll find out what he finds out
that's
in just
good,
a moment
Keith.
On Good Morning Ozarks. You stay with us. It's April 8th. Welcome to the 8 o'clock half hour of Good Morning Ozarks. It's 8:02 on this eclipse day. Remember, in our area, about 10 to 2 is when we'll see the most of it. Right here on April 8th, 2024, Keith O'Neill and Charlie Ingram. Well, 90 years old, approximately.
No, Keith, I got other things to say, Keith, before you go to the song.
Okay.
What I'm saying is I'm going to talk about the birthday lady.
Oh, you said I said the song, and you said yeah.
I'm sorry, but I mean, I got to tell you something so you know who it's about.
Hold on, Darren. Don't push that button
Don't.
Yet.
Troy, right, Troy, listen closely, because Troy Ahrens has something to do with you.
Okay.
The lady we're getting ready to celebrate, her husband's brother owned your Dairy Queen.
How about that?
What do you think about that?
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And I don't want to give her age, Keith.
But?
But I think it's got a 9 in it.
Somewhere.
and a zero. You put it wherever you want to do it.
Okay, all right.
So let me tell you, Ms. Schrock, Dee's mom today, you had a great birthday celebration with your family yesterday. We want to do this for you this morning right here.
All right. See? Told you. Here you go. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to
you. Oh, yes.
Happy birthday to you.
She's seen a couple of eclipses in her life.
Yes.
Happy birthday
to the whole Schrock family.
Okay. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Ah, yes.
Well, happy Brad birthday. Or Dee, you tell your mom, your mother-in-law and your mother, great people. They're the ones that make sorghum.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Silver Dollar City
there in the fall.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Wow.
So that song would play well in Mozambique?
Yes.
It might, but their national language there is actually Portuguese. So
did you learn Portuguese when you went over there?
We attempted.
It's hard.
It's tough, huh?
It's hard.
Portuguese. Well, I was in
Do
Brazil.
You have an interpreter?
We have many.
Good. Good. Yes. In Brazil, where they speak all Portuguese, they love their language. You can't hardly speak English anywhere. Do people love to speak English in Mozambique, or do they like to speak Portuguese?
They do. They love to learn. And for a while, we actually had a short little introductory class for English, where we were teaching people English, our cool. staff were.
So they get hello, and they get goodbye, and they get I'm hungry, and where's the bathroom?
Some
and
of the basics,
all
yeah.
the basics, yeah. How about the food?
The foods there are very basic. A lot of rice, corn, beans. The chicken they make is very amazing over there, cooking it over the little open fires. Very, very good.
Mm-hmm. How do you all handle the dysentery and the water and all that stuff?
Yeah, do you take bottled water or do you
filtered water?
Filtered. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So you have one of those things you pour the water in and then you can pour it out through a filter. Those are kind of cool.
What about your housing and your sleeping arrangements? How are those?
You know, because we don't have our own base or facility there to stay in, we just have to rent where we can. And there's a facility in the Dondo area that rents out properties to businesses. And so that's where we usually stay. And, you know, it's...
But they have no electricity?
It works. They have electricity.
Okay. So you have some electricity.
Is it 24 hours a day or does it come and go?
It comes and goes.
Yeah. How about your internet connection?
Internet is all through cellular mostly.
Okay.
And surprisingly, it's not too bad, really.
And a lot of cell phones?
It's unbelievable how almost everyone has some kind of cell phone.
Now, when you go in July, here it's going to be hot. And muggy. What are you going to find there?
It's the opposite there. Their seasons are the opposite of ours. So when we're in winter, they're in summer. And
vice versa.
So when we get there, however, their winters are not as bad as ours.
About like a Hawaii winter.
Yes.
So that's
why we love going in our summer, their winter, because the weather's perfect and we escape the heat from here.
Yeah. You attend church here in Branson at the Assembly of God over on Gretna, which we love those people over there. So give me a day of interacting with somebody. Does somebody know that? Do you go say, well, there's some orphans that need some help, and you go help them? Is it word of mouth? Tell me that, how that works.
When we're there, we love visiting with the people. We love to sit down. We love to have dinners, long conversations, just getting to know each other. That I think people sometimes might have different ideas of what missions and ministry type work looks like, but it's relationship, you know. And it's the same thing where, you know, the fellowship and breaking bread type of thing. We love going into the villages. It is so much fun. And when you see all the little children and they come out and they start chasing after you because it's not normal to see a couple of people like us walking through
light
the villages.
Skin, yeah.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you a question. You walk into the village. If you throw a soccer ball down on the ground, do the kids know what to do with it?
Soccer, they are so amazing with it. As a matter of fact, a lot of times we see the children, they will make their own soccer balls. They'll find plastic bags, different kind of materials, wrap it up together, bind it, and make a nice little.
So the next trip you go, if we got you a bunch of uninflated soccer balls, 5 or 10 that you can put in your luggage with a pump, that'd be pretty nice.
They would love it.
It actually would, and we've done that before.
What about Frisbees?
Oh, yeah, they would enjoy those, too.
They probably would.
Yeah. Well, they're close enough to Australia like a boomerang, right?
Right.
but I think they would love the Frisbees also. And the colors of them are bright red and purple and all those kind of things. Well, this is neat.
What do you find of the acceptance of the faith of Jesus Christ there? Is it an inquiring population? Is it standoff population? What do you find when you start talking to them about salvation?
The people are very receptive. Very receptive. Because of the nature of the way things are, extreme poverty where they have it, the people very much embrace Christianity. And they are very excited when people come. They're excited even within our medical program, as a matter of fact. Our team has this amazing opportunity because they go into, and what we do is we do door-to-door. So they don't have these large medical outreaches. They just go door-to-door. Attending to people, and one of the first things that people say is, why are you doing this?
Good point.
Why are you doing this? And it opens up an opportunity for our team to tell them.
I have this picture of Mozambique people, very dark skin, Mozambique, mm-hmm. Similar to Tanzanians and all that, much light, many light skin at all?
It's rare, although we actually do see fair bit of albinism also.
I've heard of that mm-hmm. too. Huh. What about the local market? Is everything in a market to where every day there's a little bit of groceries and you're going every day to purchase?
Yes, they have these little farmers markets, and it's so neat going through them. It's so much fun, actually. But Mozambique is one of the countries, I have to say, it's very blessed in terms of the way the Lord, if you really look, sometimes you see some of the impoverished countries, but there's fruit trees and nut trees and mango trees and
avocados.
Avocados. That's not like them little things you get in the store, right?
No,
they're pretty good sized avocados. Huge. Yeah, and taste like our avocado would expect to be tasted, I imagine.
There's kind of a variety of, you know, how the avocado is mm-hmm. kind of bland. Some
right.
are more buttery.
Yeah, bland. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't like avocado.
But they love avocado.
We're praying for him.
They mix it with lemon and sugar and serve it on bread.
Oh yeah.
But you mentioned chicken. I didn't hear much about pork and beef.
It's not as often, but you do find a lot of goat. Goat is.
I couldn't do that.
I bet you could.
Oh yeah.
Susan loves goat.
Yeah,
I'm not partial to it. It's a little bit too chewy for me.
Yeah.
But
they appreciate a good chicken, and we actually started raising chickens last year on our farm.
Oh, isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about a year and a half ago, we were able to purchase some land, and we started a farm.
So what happens when you're not there on that farm?
We have an amazing team of people. The Lord, if we were to have wrote down the perfect people to work within things, it would not have been as perfect as the people that God brought.
Well, do you wonder how when you listen to God's call on your life and he provides for you and say, Lord, it belongs to you, what y'all have done really means something?
Yeah.
Children or no?
Of our own, no.
No. But God has given
us
a lot of other
children.
Yeah, sounds like you do.
Yeah, you got a lot of kiddos.
We do.
Well, this has been absolutely enlightening. And I would ask you to do us a favor. Darren Ahrens is our station manager, and he helps produce our show by doing all of this. Keep us in the loop. If you have the opportunity after a while to come back and have more of this conversation, because this is a ministry people can touch pretty close. You know, we love Convoy of Hope and those organizations, the Red Cross, the Salvation Army. But it seems to me like Hope of a Nation is pretty close, Keith.
Well, hopeofanation.org is the website. You can find that by going to klfcradio.com. We'll put a link to it. And if you're doing any fundraising events here in the area, make sure you let us know. And do come back and visit with us again. And next time, pre-tell the folks there to listen on klfcradio.com so that you can, you know, they'll hear you live.
Yes, we'll have to do
when
that
you're
for sure.
Engaging the people, I'm going to encourage you to go to a Norm Geisler Ministries app on your phone. He's got a lot of apologetics and stuff, how to witness to Muslims, Hindu, all of that. It's very, very good. He's on our program about once a month. His dad, Norm, was the founding of it. Dr. David Geisler has extended that. It's got a film and some other things that might be interesting to you.
The other thing that might be interesting is we had a guest on some time ago, a young lady who grew up as a Muslim in this country. Oh, and wow. At 22, the Lord appeared to her in a dream, and she, about a year later, packed up, left her family because they would kill her as she accepted Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she wrote a book about that, and it's just amazing as you all come in contact with Muslim folks in that country.
Yeah. Keith, that's a great point. If you go back to the podcast last week, you'll find that it'll be very interesting, and you'll hear her contact information. Very, very neat, the book that she wrote about Muslim and becoming a Christian.
And Darren can tell you how to get to the podcast, not only to hear this, but you can and you could forward this to somebody if you'd like to, because this is all a podcast, and you'll be able to find hers from last week
and I'll
give that a listen as well.
And I'll give you the newsletter that they've given me there, and got some information on there. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you.
All right.
Jason and Susan, right?
Yes.
So when do you go back?
We go back in July and August.
Okay. So we're flying. We fly out of Springfield?
Out of Springfield or out of Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Whichever one gives us the best rate.
Absolutely.
And where do you go through?
Johannesburg, South Africa.
Johannesburg, okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, you go to Chicago, New York or something?
It varies, but most of the time we get a direct flight to Atlanta. And then Atlanta to South Africa.
And how really? Long of a flight is that Atlanta?
That leg is
like right at 16 hours.
Yeah.
So you get to miss London and all of that side. You get to go straight to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Great. Man, I tell you, this is very interesting. You get an attaboy and attagirl this morning. Yeah, it's a Monday.
Even if she's a Harrison Goblin.
Yeah, but that's great. And she meets the guy. Where are you from? I've been everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere.
God bless you all. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you very much.
Keep up what you're doing. Let me give a saying that Jay Scribner used to say all the time. Do not become weary in well-doing. And as Satan comes against you, because he hates you know that. And any roadblock he tries to put up in your life, just say, Lord, I don't know how to handle this, but here we go. Continue to listen to that call. You've been very inspiring for our listeners today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you both.
Bless you guys.
We'll see you next time.